It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, broadcasting throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings have us once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Nielsen, of course, is the global measurement and data analytics company. And to be in the top 10 is a very, very special honor. And, of course, it's because of you, the great listenership of this great program. Every single week, we deliver great business content on the legendary 77 WABC, and you can gain such business advice into so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, leadership, communications, financial planning, marketing, and advertising. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice, creative advice, to get ahead in today's business world. Well, it's radio, so you got to be, you know, a little bit more suspense here. You know, it's radio. But do I have a special guest? Woo! Stay tuned. Well, first of all, as we do each week, we have to thank the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who play such an important support role for the show. Cirilli, Michal, Brocha, Avigail, Miriam, Malka, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Glenn, Matt, Chris, thank you. Of course, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Businesses syndicated on. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's show will go up on the YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Spotify, the Google Podcast, so many at player.fm, where you pick the platform that you enjoy. And guess what? We're there. We're on there. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's incredible guest, Steve Cohn, all right? The millionaire's magician. He is the producer and the host of Chamber Magic. Chamber Magic get ready for this. It's an award-winning off-Broadway show that just celebrated its 20th anniversary. They're running for 20 years. His audiences have included the who's who of the celebrity world. Warren Buffett was there in the crowd. We're going to get to don't get too nervous when you have great people. He's performed for over 500,000 guests during that time. He's been featured in Forbes magazine, the New York Times. We're going to cover a lot in tonight's show. Among the topics we'll discuss is operating in a very competitive industry, working with talented people, keeping your content updated. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Steve Cohn. Steve, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, what a treat. Where do I start?
Well, how many magicians have you had on this show before?
Well, to date, the one that comes to mind is Shep Hyken. You know Shep Hyken?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Shep is an incredibly talented speaker and magician, and he knocks it out of the park every time. I've heard stories of people who have been to his presentations and have said that it's life-changing.
Yeah, so thank you. So a special shout-out to Shep Hyken. We were excited to get a hold of you. And, of course, a very special thank you to Mark Levy, who got us together. And we're going to talk about Mark a little bit later in the show also. But, Mark, when you're watching this, yes, we didn't forget who got us together here. So, Steve, talk about your background. You know, when were you babbling? What was it, at 1 year old? You jumped out of the crib? I mean, how did it work? I'm going to be a magician.
How do you become a magician?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the old joke is that I got tricked into it. But the real story is that when I was 6 years old, my uncle, who was an amateur magician, very talented amateur magician, he showed me my first card trick. And, you know, something just clicked in my mind. You know, sometimes the right person and the right thoughts kind of just combine at the right moment. And it was kind of explosive. So my uncle was born in 1901. He was an old timer. And he had seen all the great close-up magicians in New York City back in the day. So he used to carry around in his pockets little bizarre things that were magic tricks that you could buy in a magic shop. One of them was a little pocket knife that could change colors from black to red to white to green to yellow. And he gave me that knife, which is probably not the best idea to give a six-year-old kid a pocket knife and run around. But I learned how to do that very rudimentary trick. And my uncle saw that I actually wanted to learn more. It wasn't like I was just satisfied with the single one trick. Mm-hmm. So what he did was kind of like he strung me along. Every time we had a family party, he would show me a trick. He'd teach it to me. And he said, if you could come back and show me this trick performed well at the next party, then I'll give you your next one. Maybe. So he strung me along.
He always
kind of
kept
like
you
a,
hungry. It's a
like a drug
lesson.
Dealer, basically.
He always kept you hungry.
Exactly.
Let's fast
forward.
Yes,
anyway,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So just fast forward. So, you know, I performed little magic shows in my hometown growing up in Westchester County. And then when I went to college, I went to Cornell. I started doing magic for fraternities and ended up doing a show for the university president, who then introduced me to Carl Sagan. And then suddenly I started entering into this whole world of people that I had never possibly could have dreamt of meeting, all thanks to magic.
Now, Steve, you have a great story of how you got into college. Could you share it with us? Because through magic.
Yeah. It's kind of true. Well, I mean, first of all, I was a good student. So
That always helps.
Yeah, that always helps, right? My parents wanted me to become a physician, but they got a magician. So one way or the other, they got an ishin. When I was in high school, mm-hmm. I had been doing magic shows all along, but my college essay was about magic. So naturally, when I had my college interview, the interviewer wanted to see me do something. That's
right.
Just, you know.
Right. Is it just talk or, you know, are you the real thing?
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a dentist, you go to parties and people say, hey, what's this inside of my mouth? You know, the same thing with being a magician. Like you go to a party and people say, show me something.
Right.
So that's what happened with this interviewer. And I did a card trick that she liked, and then I borrowed her ring from her finger and made it disappear. And suddenly I had her interest. And then I said, you know, I have to go now, but maybe if you let me into Cornell, I'll get that ring back to you. And she didn't like that. So I said, oh, actually, even better. I've got your ring out in the car, in my car. And she's like, you're not leaving. So I said, don't worry, I have my car keys. And I showed that her ring had reappeared linked onto the keychain. Of my car keys. And then I gave it back to her and she's like, you are so in.
That's great. So
that was a little bit of a hint. I got a little hint.
So now, Steve, when did you decide, you know what, I'm going to make a career out of magic?
Well, you know, it's not the kind of job that has a career path. Mm. There's no training program. There's no step-by-step rankings. Like you don't say I'm a yellow belt in magic and then a red belt in magic and a black belt in magic.
Right.
You know, it's very fluid.
Right.
So, I decided when I was very young that I wanted to become a magician, but it's my parents always said you have to have something to fall back on. So that's why I went to college. But after having graduated from college, and just a whole long story, I went to Tokyo and did a study abroad in Tokyo. I speak Japanese fluently. When I came back from Japan and graduated from college, I thought, you know, I want to give this magic thing a try, but I don't have any money yet. So I started working in a marketing company, just using some of my Japanese language skills.
Okay.
And then was moonlighting as a magician on the side when I realized, actually, I can make a lot more money working for myself than working for someone else. So that's kind of when the switch flipped and I left that company and went off on my own and had many years of being very hungry. You know, what I decided to do was do some, again, I could speak Japanese. I was doing some work on the side, which was Japanese language translating. Translating Japanese documents from Japanese into English for law firms, for the U.S. government, patent translations, applications. So those are all things that I was using to kind of pad the coffers while I was really trying to make my living as a magician. And it was very slim pickings in the beginning.
Wow. And that's a very important lesson because there are many people, when they embark on the journey of becoming an entrepreneur, they say, okay, I could potentially make more money going out on my own, not realizing that the first 1, 2, 3 decades, it's not that simple.
I'll tell you how long it took for me. So So I came back to New York from Tokyo in 1995. Mm-hmm. And then it took 5 years before I launched my show. And I was really living a very meager lifestyle. I remember at one point, you know, if I had a donut, that was a meal. Mm-hmm. So it was a really tough 5 years. Then when I decided to launch the show, it took another 2 years before it actually started to break even and turn a profit. So that's 7 years. And that's something that people often gloss over when they look back and they talk about their successes and whatnot. You know, it was a 7 year period where I was really living hand to mouth.
My guest this evening is Steve Cohn from Chamber Magic. He is the host, the producer, the vision behind it, also known, of course, as Millionaire's Magician. We have a lot to cover. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Steve Cohn of Chamber Magic.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram, or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com. Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today, or visit online at brandspaycheck.com. That's brandspaycheck.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Zaflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest is none other than Steve Cohn. He is the host of Chamber Magic Host, the division behind it, the producer. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us here on 77 WABC. Thank you.
Happy to do it.
Now, before we get back to some questions that I'd love to address, Could you talk about some of the books that you've authored?
Sure thing. So the first book that I wrote is a book called Win the Crowd. I actually have a copy of it right here.
Sure, let us see.
Yeah, so it's a small
Win the Crowd.
Small promotion.
Sure.
It was translated into 7 languages. And the book is basically the idea behind the book is stripping away the secrets of a magician. The real secrets are the presentational skills. Because if you take away all of the sleight of hand and the gimmickry and the trapdoors in the stage, still the magician has to come out, stand in front of a crowd of people, and convince them that what he or she is saying is the truth. And so that's really what you need to be doing as a business person or as a presenter, whether you're presenting to one person or to 1,000 people. And so what I did was I kind of pushed all the magic secrets aside and drew out all of the showmanship and the presentational skills. And those have actually helped a lot of people who are not ever dreaming of becoming a magician, but have found that it helps them as a teacher or as a presenter. So those things have actually been really
I would
helpful.
Even say for business people that are presenting to an audience or even in the in a corporate boardroom, you know,
exactly.
I mean, so Win the Crowd. And, of course, it's available on Amazon, right? I would imagine.
It is, yeah. It sure is. Amazing. And that book's been out for, for about 15 years now.
Nice.
And it keeps selling. People love that book. I've had comments from teachers, from business people, from presenters, professors, who have all said to me that this book has actually helped them in their confidence.
Amazing.
Standing in front of people, showing them how to actually, you know, win the crowd, basically.
Excellent.
Next book that I put out is a graphic novel. It's a comic book that was drawn by an artist who draws for Batman.
Wow.
And does the coloring for Daredevil. So this is like, you know, this is a real comic book. Wow. The foreword is by David Copperfield, the magician.
Wow.
And so this actually is a history of my background as a performer, but it's a fictionalized version. I've actually never murdered anybody, but there's a lot of murder and intrigue in this story. So it's kind of a backstory, but it's a fictional backstory that has a lot of elements of truth. I actually did do a show in Carnegie Hall. I'm the first magician in 75 years to do a show, solo show in Carnegie Hall. That's in the book. And also I performed, you know, for in the book that shows all the different millionaires and billionaires that have been on my roster. So that's also in the book.
Amazing. Steve, what are some of the subcategories, if you will, within the magic business that also can be lucrative for a magician?
Okay, so I specialize in a form of magic that's called parlor magic, or I call it chamber magic. That's the name of my show,
mm-hmm.
Which basically means it's for a smaller audience, around 50, 60 people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then you have much larger shows like an illusion show, such as David Copperfield, Penn and Teller do a large illusion show, which has 1,000 people, let's say, inside of the auditorium. At the other end of the spectrum, then you have much smaller shows that are close-up magic shows. Maybe that's someone who does something right in front of you, you know, 2 inches from your eyes.
Right.
And that's a very challenging area to become lucrative in, only because the numbers aren't really there,
right?
Unless you're charging a massive amount of money for a single person to come see it, you're not going to really become a millionaire overnight. But, you know, here's a hidden secret that magicians sometimes scoff at is the children's birthday party arena. There's actually, I mean, think of how many children are out there and how many parents want their kids to have the best, right? So there's actually a little bit of a looking down upon children's entertainers in the magic community or the magic world, but that's a really lucrative area. You'd be surprised. There are people who are knocking it out of the park doing children's birthday parties and library shows and school fundraisers. It's actually an area that I've never personally explored, but it is lucrative.
It's also a great way to start. I met on one of the shows when we were interviewing Shep Hyken, he did talk about that. He talked about that, you know, as a kid going around and his parents would drive him around and he would do the birthday parties. As a way
here before I got my driver's license, that's what happened with me. My parents, you know, bless their heart, they drove me all over the county and took me from show to show because I couldn't drive yet. I have a funny story. Once I did a trick where I made a bird disappear, a white dove just vanished,
okay.
And this mother who had hired me for her children's birthday party was an animal rights activist, and when the bird disappeared, she started to chant, "Where's the bird?" And all the kids, "Where's the bird?" And then I was like, "Look, I can't tell you, miss, because I'm a magician. It's a trade secret." And then she said, "I'm not paying you until you tell me that that bird is healthy and well." And so anyway, my mother was waiting for the show to end, because remember, I couldn't drive yet.
Right.
She was waiting outside in the car. I had to call her in to talk some sense into this lady so that I was able to get out of the house with my check and my secreted bird.
So now I'm going to ask a rather interesting question, and you have a right to take the fifth on this one. Do magicians speak freely about their trade secrets?
Oh, you mean amongst ourselves?
Yeah, amongst yourselves.
Okay, well, there's actually, that's a great question, Yitzhak, because, you know, magicians do exchange information to each other. That's how we learn. That's how we further the craft, right? And we, in fact, we have magicians' conferences. We have magician lectures where we teach to each other. We also have, like in any trade, we've got online learning and online merchants who sell magic tricks and online downloads and even books and other physical props and instruction manuals to each other. So yes, magicians have to, in order to keep the momentum of the business and the trade going. Gotcha. By nature, we actually must share. However, there is a meritocracy. And what that means is that if someone is simply a secret seeker, or someone who's a looky-loo and they want to learn the secrets, but they just want to learn it for the secret's sake, oftentimes the doors will be closed. And in order for me to want to teach or to feel compelled to teach someone else, I want to know that they're at a level that's similar to me. In other words, are they a dedicated student of the craft? Have they put in their dues? Have they paid their dues? Has this person ever performed on a live stage before? Are they just an armchair magician? So these are all things I take into account, and magicians take into account when we size each other up to see if the other person is worthy of the secret.
100%.
Now, I remember very quickly, one time David Copperfield came to see my show when I was performing at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel here in New York. And when I was performing for David Copperfield, the trick that he liked the most was one that I'm famous for. It's called Think a Drink, where I have a silver tea kettle that I can pour any drink from that you ask for. So someone asks for a bourbon, and I pour them bourbon. Next person wants to have lemonade, I pour the lemonade from the same spout. Next guy wants to have a Diet Coke. The next guy wants to have, you know, a gin and tonic. And I pour them one by one. They want to have hot drinks. I can have a mochaccino, anything at all. I pour them for them. So David Copperfield afterwards said to me, "Don't ever tell me how that was done. I don't want to know."
That's, I think that's great.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's great, because that'll kill it.
You know, there's a joy in not knowing. And I think that, you know, everyone wants to know the secret, but once you learn the secret, it might be something stupid, like, you know, there was a piece of tape stuck to the back of it. You know, right? There's something, sometimes the secrets are very rudimentary, and it's surprising how easily humans can be deceived. But when you don't know the secret, there's always that realm of possibility and wondering, well, I wonder, is there some cockamamie device that he's built? Does he have a little midget inside there pressing buttons, pouring drinks? I mean, like, you have no idea. Like, there's so many possibilities that are open. And so therefore we enjoy the whole experience.
Steve, before we go to a break, I just have to ask you this. Going back 20 years, you entered a very competitive market. The New York theater market is highly competitive. And you decided you're going with an off-Broadway show on a very high-end hotel. Tell us about what it was like when you were staring at that, like the challenge. Oh, my gosh, I want to do this, but how can I be successful?
You know, I didn't really think of the bigger picture. I didn't even think I was performing in this iconic hotel at the time, the Waldorf Astoria. I didn't think about how I was competing against Broadway shows for the competition for the people's time and their money. Mm-hmm. All I wanted to do was just, I wanted to be a magician in New York. I thought, if I could do this for 20 years in New York, in my mind, I'll have been a success. And so I kind of had bubble or tunnel vision. I just went ahead and did my own thing, not really concerning myself with the competition. What are other magicians doing? What are Broadway shows doing? What are off-Broadway shows doing? I kind of just went in there with my own
passion,
you know, tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And that actually and helped me because I wasn't really swayed by anyone else. I remember Ricky Jay, the great Ricky Jay, passed away a couple of years ago. I admired him greatly, met him a few times. So Ricky Jay was doing a show in New York called On the Stem. I purposely didn't go see it because I didn't want to be influenced by my competition, by other magicians that are in the New York market. And that actually helped a lot. Now, having said that, you're right. It takes guts to hang up your shingle in New York City, right? I mean, you're basically saying, everyone else, screw you. This is what you should be spending your time on and your money on. And that takes guts. And I always like to say, it takes guts, damn it. You know, because that's a great phrase, right? It takes guts, damn it, to do what your heart tells you is your true purpose. But, you know, I went out there and just kind of plowed ahead. Even when I wasn't making money, I just said, this will eventually turn. The tide will turn eventually. And I lied to my wife for 2 years, telling her that we were breaking even, when in fact we were losing money every single show, every single week. And I just, you know, sucked it in and said, you know, I know I'm lying. I know I hate lying to my wife. She's my partner in life and she's the love of my life. But, you know, sometimes you have to do what you know is possible. And that's what I did. And it eventually turned and paid off.
Oh, we're gonna get into this more after the break. My guest is none other than the founder, the host, the producer of Chamber Magic. He's also known as the Millionaire's Magician because he's among his crowd has been actually many billionaires as well, and many, even though how many billionaires are there? But that's he's performed in front of over a 500,000 people, 500,000. And remember, his performances are not in front of large audiences. Chamber Magic. In fact, your average audience is roughly 50, 60 people, Steve?
Exactly. Yeah, we cap it at 64. And so there's four rows of 16 chairs across.
That's great.
And everyone gets a chance to participate. It's all right in front of your eyes.
We're going to continue with Steve right after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Itzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest is the producer of Chamber Magic, the famous off-Broadway show. And the individual is Steve Cohn. Steve, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, please. I have, where do I begin? You know what? I'm going to pick up where we left off right before the commercial break. And that is, you were very open and honest about it takes time to become a success. You know, there are famous quotes, right? It took 30 years to become an overnight success. And, you know, I've heard, but it's true. How long did it take to get traction? How long did it take until people started knowing it? Chamber Magic, I mean, now, again, in 2019, you won the TripAdvisor Award, but it took time. Talk about the patience that an entrepreneur needs to be successful.
Okay, so basically, when I began the show, in my head, I thought, I'm going to run this for 20 years. So I had patience built into the whole project. And every time I did a show, if it was a good show, great, that was one step closer to my 20-year mark. If I did a bad show and I got a terrible reaction, that was also one step closer to my mark, and I learned from that. Of course, I had, hopefully, more good shows than bad shows. but along the way, I also got very fortunate. I had a media person that came to the show who had a blog. It was early. This is, again, I started before Facebook. You know, my first outreach to people was through postcards. That's when I began this whole show. It was before there was even a social media. So I found this one media person who came who had a blog, an early blog, like a mailing list. Mm-hmm. And she wrote about my show on this mailing list. The blog was called Daily Candy. Anyway, so she blogged out to all these people about Chamber Magic, and suddenly the show was sold out for a year. Wow. And that was instant. It was like people were just so turned on by this article, and it blew my mind, because when I had been struggling up until that point, suddenly I had a show that was sold out for a year. So what did you do if you're an entrepreneur? You have to produce more supply. So I added more shows. About 3 years in, it was another inflection point. I got a great opportunity on CBS Sunday Morning. They did a 7-minute interview that aired nationwide. And that interview then brought in over $1 million of ticket sales in about 3 days.
Wow.
Unreal. My mind was completely blown. And then those shows were sold out. So what do you do as an entrepreneur? You produce more supply. So then I added a matinee show. That schedule has stuck, and I've continued that for the past 15 or so years. And that basically brings me to today, where, you know, I kind of had these inflection points where suddenly there was traction, but I had to just wait. I had to be patient. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of times where you get possibly a media hit, right? Maybe you get featured in a newspaper, or you get featured in a magazine or a blog. And you, as an entrepreneur, you get very excited. Like, this is going to make me, this is going to be it. But what I learned from my best friend and from my co-creator of Chamber Magic, Mark Levy, who I know, Mark Levy told me, it's just an article. It's just one article. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. So I remember the first time I got featured in the New York Post, it was a half a page article. I thought, this is going to make my career. And it was a minor blip. Minuscule blip. It maybe sold like 3 tickets, you know, that I was in the newspaper. When I was a guest on the David Letterman show, right? The late night with David Letterman, mm-hmm. One of the thrills of my life. It didn't sell very many tickets, but, you know, it was an opportunity to be seen by a great amount more people. So, you know, when you have these media hits, you often may think that it's going to change everything. There'll be an avalanche of orders or business or tickets sold or whatever you're selling. But the fact is, you have to just take that in stride, almost assume that it's not even there.
Even though one of the examples you gave turned into $1 million in ticket sales.
It's true. But I never knew that. It could have turned into $0 in ticket sales, right? So you know, you can't ever know what's going to have traction. I can tell you that CBS Sunday Morning appearance was seen by Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett said, hey, I want this guy at my house in Omaha.
Tell us the story. Tell us the story.
That was actually the impetus for me to get to do a show for Warren Buffett in Omaha for a private show. It was very exciting.
That's amazing. Mark Levy, he is a tremendous thinker in terms of how to package an individual. Perhaps you could share your experience working alongside Mark and you know, what's his secret sauce, if you could share, on how he makes people, brings out the greatness in individuals?
Sure. Well, I met Mark Levy completely as a fluke. He called me out of the blue 21 years ago. I remember it. I'll always remember it. It was a phone call that he just said, hi, a mutual friend of ours said we'd probably get along. And that phone call lasted 2 hours.
Wow.
And then we met in person, and then we've been on the phone every day for the past 20 years.
Wow.
Right? So that tells you the type of connection we have built. Mark is a positioning expert, And, you know, I never thought that I would need a positioning expert. I'm a magician. I think that's interesting enough as it is.
Right.
But what Mark told me is that, look, you know, David Blaine is the street magician. And Penn and Teller at the time were considered the bad boys of magic, right? And there's like these different hooks that people can latch onto and say, this is a specific type of a magician. And I had come to Mark and said, look, I want to create some sort of a stunt that will put me in, that will launch me into the public eye.
Right.
He said, you don't need a stunt. We need to drill down into who you already are and figure out what is it about you that's unique and different that we can then promote. And so he did a kind of an interview with me, and he asked me about my background and where I grew up and who I performed for, et cetera. And after all this kind of analysis, data analysis, he realized that I perform mostly for the well-to-do, what he called the filthy rich. So he said, no one is in that category. No one's claimed to be a magician for the filthy rich. That's just not, that has never been done before. So he said, you should focus on that. And I said, oh, that's just stupid. That's ridiculous. And around the same time, I got featured in a magazine, and it was called Avenue Magazine.
Okay.
It focused on the Upper East Side, kind of wealthy people, Park Avenue, Fifth Avenue crowd. And the article said, Steve Cohen is the millionaire's magician. He performs for A-list celebrities and members of country clubs, et cetera. So I told that to Mark, and Mark said, that's it. You're going to be the millionaire's magician from now on. And I fought him tooth
and
nail. Stupidest thing ever. And he said, nope, you have to go all in on this, Steve. And so I told my wife, I'm going to become the millionaire's magician. She said, you're a moron. I told my parents, they said, don't do it. Everyone said, don't do this because you're going to alienate your audience. And what Mark said is, no, you're wrong. He said, if you can't turn away the $2,000 gig, you'll never get the $20,000 gig. And that's what really made the difference for me, because when I accepted his insistence on the millionaire's magician and printing up business cards that say the millionaire's magician entertainment for exclusive events, and making a website all around the millionaire's magician, and eventually even today, like I mentioned before, creating a graphic novel, a book called The Millionaire's Magician,
right?
All of these things, I went all in, and it made all the difference, because then I went to London. I did this show in London and called myself the Millionaire's Magician. The British media ate it up. They said, this guy is the Millionaire's Magician. They just took it at face value. Then when I came back to America, it was like Europe's eclipsing sensation. That's what Houdini was called. Europe's eclipsing sensation. I came back with all this great media from England that said the Millionaire's Magician has taken London, right? And then that really took off and snowballed from there.
My guest is the millionaire's magician, Steve Cohen, the producer of Chamber Magic. I need to go to commercial break, but I just got to get another question here. And that is, I understand that you have a dress code for the audience that shows up. I found that fascinating. Could you discuss?
These days, I dress pretty spiffy. I have a relationship with Paul Stewart, the clothing store on Madison Avenue.
Nice.
We have a relationship. And so anyway, I wear all Paul Stewart clothes. But I thought, wouldn't it be nice if not only I were wearing fancy duds, but if the audience were too? Because the venue that I perform in is super elegant. My new venue is at the Lotte New York Palace.
Nice.
It was at the Waldorf Astoria for many years, but that hotel is closed for renovations. I moved the show to my favorite new hotel in New York, which is the Lotte New York Palace on 50th and Madison. And the room is a 19th century drawing room. So it would make no sense for people to come in shorts and t-shirts and tank tops. So we make a dress code, and everyone loves coming in and making a night of the town.
You know, and I love the logic behind it. You have to dress for the part, and it's no different than in a person in their business, you know, dressing. If you're attending a very important business meeting with executives, you have to dress. If you're going to dress inappropriately, you probably won't get the deal. And here, the ambiance, the setting,
it's all part and parcel. You know, I hate to cut you off, but what I found is that we have a dress code, and then a lot of the men are resistant. And they don't want to get dressed up because they wear a suit during the week, right? But when you're going out to a cocktail attire event, it elevates it in your mind. That's you have to start planning for the event in advance, right? Like a week before, oh, I'm going to a magic show. I better make sure my suit is dry cleaned, et cetera, or my blouse is pressed. So anyway, I find then that when I thank the audience for dressing up, I actually make a point of thanking them for following the dress code. The women always nudge their boyfriends or their husbands saying, see, I told you so, right? And then they look around and they see that everyone else did too. And it actually adds to the ambiance.
My guest is Steve Cohn, the Millionaire's Magician. He is the producer of Chamber Magic, a 20-year running off-Broadway show. Wow. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com. If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest, this is really one of the, you talk about, unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic, which was, affected so many people in such severe ways. But there's always, in any setback, there's a silver lining. And part of that is the possibility I was able to get Steve Cohn on the show, because he's at home twiddling his thumbs. Not exactly twiddling his thumbs. He's up to some stuff. I'm going to ask him shortly. But to get him during the season, forget about it. I'd never get him on the show. Steve, what have you been up to? And, unfortunately, it's the show is shut down now for months. Are you just twiddling your thumbs? I mean.
Actually, my thumbs have been twiddling me.
So what are you up to?
Yeah, that's the problem of being a magician. So what I've been doing is a couple of things. First, I have a bunch of playing cards, different types of playing cards that I released. These are available now in all sorts of bookstores and Barnes & Noble, Target, et cetera. So these have actually been a little bit of my business while the show is down. But to me, even more interestingly, is I've been working on 2 new books.
Oh, tell us. Sure.
Yeah, the first book is coming out in October from the publisher Asseline. It's a French publisher based here in New York City. The book is called Confronting Magic, and that book will be out in mid-October. Nice. The foreword was written by Guillermo del Toro, the famous movie director. And the book is basically celebration of 20 years of magic in New York. But what I did was I had photographers come over the years and secretly take pictures of the audience reacting to the magic. So the name of the book is Confronting Magic. And you see all these faces of people dropping their jaws, their hands thrown up in the air, falling over on their neighbor's shoulders. And just like, they just don't have any response to the magic. And that's part of what's in the book. Also, I've written many essays that are included as well.
Steve, running a show means you interact with a lot of very talented people. I'm sure your cast, it's clear they are extremely talented. This is a rather delicate question because I don't want you to get in trouble with your cast, because the day will come, hopefully soon, where you're going to be back on stage. How do you harness the talent of very, very talented people?
Right. What I've found is you obviously must always be acting in a professional way, but also I like to I like to make sure that my sense of humor loosens the person up so they realize that I'm not pretentious. Now, I can come across pretentious from time to time if I'm really focused on my work, but by being able to break down that barrier by having some shared joke or some common little, you know, comical interchange, that really I found to work really well. And, you know, when I used to live in Tokyo, and what I found in Japan is that business people who are very, you know, kind of uptight during the day will go out and have a drink. And then when they get completely blasted, then they let their guard down. And then that's when the real bonding occurs. Now, I'm not a drinker, but I like to have social interaction with people outside of the venue. And, you know, when you have that shared experience, then when you get back into the work frame of mind, you're able to obviously have that bond that you've already built outside of the work. So that has been one way I've found to be a pretty successful way of harnessing other people's talents.
Wow. As they say, keeping the, because also what I, you know what, let me turn this into really into my next question, is there are times when the pressure is really on, like, and you know it, and you want to make sure the audience doesn't, like, let's say a cast member isn't feeling well, called in sick at the last minute, or there's some other, you know of something that may or may not happen during the show, a power outage. How do you train for, and what's your tips on how to deal with pressure that you can cut with a knife?
Yeah, well, what I usually do is I learned this from a friend of mine who's a pilot. He called it the OODA loop, O-O-D-A. And I don't know if you're familiar with this. If you're a fighter pilot, you automatically know this. But anyone who's a pilot ought to know this. It's part of being situationally aware, situational awareness, where you understand O-O-D-A. It stands for observe, orient, decide, act. So you're always observing what's going on, right? There might be something that went wrong that the audience hasn't become aware of yet. Then you have to orient yourself so that you know what to do. Then you decide what to do, and then you act on it. And then you loop back to the original O, which is observe again. So you're always looping back. So you probably heard the expression, keep me in the loop.
Yeah, of course.
That comes from this expression, the OODA loop. It's from fighter
pilots.
I never knew that. And so what I do is I try to have situational awareness, keeping awareness of myself in three-dimensional space, plus also in the fourth dimension of time. So I'm thinking ahead before you even know what's going to happen. I'm aware of what could potentially happen only because I've done this show literally thousands and thousands of times. So, you know, that's where the practice and the rehearsals really come into play, because you start to see what could potentially go wrong, and then you're able to have a plan B and C and D ready for those eventualities.
Perhaps you could even share with us a tip about practice and rehearsals. Now, of course, when you're doing it the amount of years, each show is a practice and rehearsal for the upcoming show, of course.
Sure.
But from the early days, how many times would you rehearse? What was like the schedule that you would put in to practice and practice and practice in order to make sure that it would be flawless?
There's a real difference between practice and rehearsal. So practice is something I can do at any time. I can be sitting watching a television show. I might be practicing right now, you just don't know it. There's practice that you can do when you're, you know, just sitting around casually, you know, holding a deck of cards and just practicing. Your fingers are getting used to doing something which is rather challenging, but you do it without even thinking because of the practice. Rehearsal, on the other hand, is something that is a bit more elaborate. And rehearsal means you're placing, you're maybe putting on your clothes. You've heard of dress rehearsal, right?
Right.
Basically, it's all the blocking and the standing and having all the props in the proper pockets and putting the props in the proper locations and moving everything in real time and not stopping from beginning to end. That's what a rehearsal would be. So practice and rehearsal really are two different areas. But to answer your question, I practice constantly, and I practice with great dedication, meaning there are some sleight of hand maneuvers that I'll be performing from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to sleep. And some of these are mental tricks that I have to perhaps run through a series of memorized steps. Other things are physical, where I have to practice with my fingers to be able to make sure that the dexterity stays intact. Other things I'll do are using, you know, other objects where I have to practice to make sure that the objects don't fall.
Nice.
I want, you know, when I have complete control.
Nice. So for those watching on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, without, exactly. And so the idea is that the muscle memory is so intact that I can be placing my attention on the audience. And this is, you know, it's almost having two minds. You may have seen some great jazz pianists or classical pianists who can be playing a run on their left hand and a melody on their right hand, and they're almost as if it's two different people playing the same instrument. That's what I'm doing. The technique is one hand, and the presentational skills are the other hand.
Wow. Steve, here's an interesting question. I'm sure that you've had many people that have enjoyed the show and have come back. Are there any... What's your advice on that? Or actually, perhaps you could even share from Chamber Magic. Do you change up some details from time to time? Or is it that people, like, they enjoyed it, they'll watch the same show, they'll come back to the same show again?
I've had many people who have returned to the show over and over again. And I know this because during the show, I asked, raise your hand if you've been to Chamber Magic before. And at every show, there's people raising their hands. And that's only because I've been doing it for 20 years, right? So it's always very fulfilling. I'd never take that for granted. However, you know, you can't expect that people are going to want to come back if it's word for word, beat for beat, exactly the same show that they experienced before. You know, maybe you'll see the same movie a second time or a third time, but it's rare that you'd see the same movie 9 times or 12 times, right? I've had people come back to Chamber Magic 9 or 12 times. And it's because there's a whole element of the show that Mark Levy actually turned me onto, which is kind of like a comedian doing crowd work, where I'm riffing with the audience and reading people's minds who are just in the audience. And that is always different. And the people are always different. So even I don't know how it's going to end. So I'll look around the room and start telling people the name of their dogs and the first girl that someone kissed, or, you know, for example, that maybe they had a knee replacement, things that I couldn't possibly know by looking at them. And there's zero pre-show work, you know, researching people on Google. There's nothing like that. I have a fresh audience. I go amongst the audience and just start plucking ideas out of their head. And that takes about, you know, 15, 20 minutes of the show. Mark Levy was the one who turned me on to it. He said, Steve, you're starting to get bored. I can see it in your eyes. We have to add something that will make you fresh. And so I ripped out an entire reliable part of the show that was working beautifully every time. And I threw in this segment, which has open-endedness, and it allows me to create and to be kind of to be a poet on the spot and create this entire segment of the show, which even I don't know how it's going to end. So that's what's kept me fresh all these years.
Steve, the time flies when you're on radio, and we only have around 2 minutes left. Perhaps you could share, and you've shared so many great takeaways for anyone in business, as it applies to magic and as it applies to the world at large for entrepreneurs. Perhaps you could share a tip or two for all the small to medium-sized business owners out there.
Sure. The best advice that I have is something that my mentor gave me when I was starting this show. Her name is Holly Pepe. She's a poetry professor, but she also happens to be a great supporter of magic. And she said to me, always think in real time. don't push the river. You must let it flow. And I think that's a very poetic and a beautiful way of approaching business, right? Think of things in real time. You want it to happen now, right? You put in all this investment and time and you want to see results right away. Right. That's what everyone wants, right? We want instant satisfaction and results. But if you think in real time, then you understand it's not going to happen right away, most likely. Right. And that's why when I made that 20-year goal, she said, oh, you're on the right track. You made a 20-year goal. That's good thinking. And then the other part of the statement was, don't push the river, let it flow. And that's apparently a saying from an African folk story. You know, the river is always going to be moving, right? And you can't control it. The moment that you accept that, you can't control everything. Let things happen and just respond and just keep moving forward in your own way. That'll probably steer you into the right direction.
Wow, what an amazing presentation tonight. Of course, this will be up on the archives by Tuesday morning in case you just tuned in. MYBradio.com, MYBradio.com. That's the platform that hosts every single past episode that we've had, including the one we had with Mark Levy a number of months ago. This episode is also going to be up on the YouTube channel. So, yes, you can go there, and I'm sure this is going to get many thousands of hits probably within the first month or two. Steve Cohn, the producer of Chamber Magic, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. And, folks, tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.